Sariputta and verse 2 and 3. All of you got your Bibles. Remember your congregation which you have purchased of old, the tribe of your inheritance which you have redeemed, this Mount Zion where you have dwelt. Lift up your feet to the perpetual desolations. The enemy has damaged everything in the sanctuary. Your enemies roar in the midst of your meeting place. They set up their banners for signs. It is a plea for a relief from the oppressors. And there is only one who can oppress us as well as good as the devil. He is the oppressed. Are you with me? And here the psalmist is praying, remember your congregation which you have purchased. You have purchased us with your precious blood. Now with silver, now with gold. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
He has purchased you with his own precious and redeeming blood. So remember me, O Lord. There is no greater privilege than to know that Jesus purchased you with his blood. The other day especially the last 1 week, I had a couple of times when I was praying. One time, it was just to see if the Lord wanted, or was God anointing me to just lift up someone from the dead, because someone whom I loved very much, and I was praying before the throne of God. That night when they called up and said, Nirmala is dead, I said, Lord, it is not possible. I said, if the enemy has taken away her life in the midst of her years, then I want you to restore her life back. So I was sitting in the presence of God that night, and there were some of the brothers who were there that day with me. So they were also praying, we were sitting in the presence of God and praying and crying before God. And I was praying and praying, saying, Lord, if the enemy has taken, I want her back. And then, I don't want to tell you a long story, but let me tell you something. I was seeing a real confrontation with the demonic powers of darkness. And I got the breakthrough in prayer. But she's with the Lord. Are you with me? The soul is saved, she is with the Lord. But I was having a confrontation, and that is the time I knew how oppressive the demonic power could be. And that same week, there were a lot of people were calling up me for prayer. And especially, there was a brother who called up. He's a huge businessman. He called me up and he said, I'm depressed with life. I'm going to end my life. Nobody is right to live. And again, I sat in the presence of God and I said, Lord, I want hope to come back to that person. I want him to be restored back. And I was praying the prayer of restoration, and I was praying and praying and praying. And actually, I was seeing again the powers of death trying to take away his life. And I said, Lord, you cannot allow that. You cannot allow that. I'm willing to stand in the gap. I'm willing to cry. I'm willing to pray. I'm willing to do anything. And then the Lord showed me, many a time we know scripturally, the reality of the confrontation between the kingdom of God, the kingdom of darkness, the price of a soul. But at that time of prayer, I suddenly began to intensely experience that confrontation that was going on. Let me tell you, my brother, my sister, you have an enemy whether you like it or not. And that is the devil. Are you with me? And he wants to steal what God has given you. And unless you are willing to grow into maturity, to take up the armor that God has placed in your hands, you are never going to stand up in victory. And so what needs to be done today? I'm learning a scripture in Psalm 74, where the psalmist is saying, you purchased us of old, you purchased our congregation, but the enemy has tried and ravaged that place, oh God. Now restore us back. Are you with me? So today I want to speak on restoration. And I pray the Holy Spirit help me through. The anointing will break every yoke and every chain in this place. And that is how you can be restored back. And how the enemy comes in. And what the enemy tries to do. Are you with me? Amen.
Amen.
When you look into the Word, in the Gospel of Mark chapter 3. The Gospel of Mark. I mean, this is a precious book. The Word of the living God. I mean, you keep it down. You are without a weapon. Are you with me? Mark chapter 3. It says that the 27th verse, Jesus has said, no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man and then he will plunder his house. Are you with me? Now look to Luke 11. But there's nothing more interesting is mentioned for what Mark is missing out. The 20th verse, But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, the finger of God is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the hand of God, and He's also the finger of God, because He can pinpoint exactly where you are wrong. And then you come back. Jesus loves you. Are you with me? He can pinpoint exactly where you need to put your life right. He's the finger. Now, if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Then the word of God goes on to say, when a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are increased. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides the spoil. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. The 22nd verse is what I wanted to underline here today. But where stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor. Do you know that Jesus overcame the devil on Calvary's cross and took away the armor that was of the devil? I mean, the devil has got no armor. It is you and me who has got the armor of God.
Amen.
Are you with me? Amen. The devil is without an armor. That's why God's word says in James 4 and verse 7, submit to God and resist the devil. He will have to flee because you got the armor. He does not have the armor. Do you know that? How the devil hates you because you are anointed? Because one time the Bible calls the devil, the Lucifer, the fallen angel, the anointed cherub. I mean, he lost the anointing. No longer does he have an anointing. So he hates you and me who have got an anointing from God. You know why he dislikes worship? Why you find so oppressive sometimes to go in and pray? It's because one time he could worship God. There were musical instruments built into him. And he could worship God. But he's lost that grace to worship. And today he desires worship. That's why the church has been given what is called the greatest of privileges, to worship God. That's why there is so much of struggle when you come to worship. The minute you come to worship and stand there, there's all kinds of thoughts come, all kinds of distractions come. You want to look at someone and smile, you want to wake around, you want to joke around. You know why? Because the devil wants to disturb you, because he's unable to worship Jesus today. And he hates it, because one time he used to. And so the devil is called in John 10 and verse 10, the thief that comes to kill, to steal and destroy. Are you with me? But my brother, my sister, this is a message of liberation that will set you free.
Amen.
That's right.
Unless you're aware of what God has given you, how can you stand? I mean, the common believer is willing to just lie down and allow the devil to roll through him. You know why? Because not only has the devil cheated you of the truth that you are anointed, but he's cheated you of the truth that you can worship God. He's made you wrongly understand that you don't have an image. The Bible says you are created in the image and likeness of God. You remember? It is only when you know who you are in Christ, can you able to use the authority of Christ through you. If you do not know who you are, when you read Genesis 1, you will find the Bible saying, the 27th, 26th verse, God created Adam and Eve in His own image and likeness. 27th verse, and then gave them authority over everything. I mean, if you know your identity, then you can use your authority. So He tries to make you look like a failure. Every time you stumble, you are not a failure. You are only a failure when you quit. Are you with me? You are not a failure when you fail. You are only a failure when you quit. A child of God, or any child for that matter, when a child is growing up, if the child were to fall and not get up, then it would disturb the parents. Everybody falls. But if the child is able to get up, then he's not a quitter. He's not a failure. No parent will come and say, has any parent told you, how I hate the day you are falling so many times, every day you are falling. My brother, my sister, no parent has said that. But if you are unable to walk for the rest of your life because you fell, then they are sad. You are only a failure when you quit. So He makes you to think of how you have failed and made you lose your, make you realize or make you understand that you are nobody. He tries to do that in your mind, the devil, again and again. And so you are unable to use that authority. So every time you are faced with a problem, with a temptation, you do not resist. You say, oh, I am too weak for that. Somebody help me, please. The more you do that, the more discouraged you will be. The more you do that, the more angry you will be with yourself. It is time for the church of God to stand up and fight. You got the armor. Are you with me?
And the more you do that, the more discouraged you will be.
The more you do that, the more angry you will be with yourself. It is time for the church of God to stand up and fight. You got the armor. Are you with me? You need to stand up. I always used to say it takes a man to have a backbone to be a Christian. Yes, you need to stand up. That's right. Stand up strong for God, for Jesus. Amen? And today, I want you to know that He takes away, let me tell you, He takes away your, I mean, He makes you miserable, He tries to take away your joy. I mean, joy is something which God gives you. You can have joy amidst sorrow. Do you know that? You can rejoice amidst sorrow. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 9 and 10, Paul said, I am sorrowful yet rejoicing. How is that? Sorrowful yet rejoicing. My brother, happiness might go away. Happiness, gladness, all those are different things. But joy is something that God gives you permanent in your heart. That's why you need to allow some joy to come out of your spirit, Johnny. Amen. The joy of the Lord shall be your strength. Happiness will come and go. It's just an emotion. So tonight, this is a message which I believe we need to know. And that is the first part of it is, if you need to know how the enemy comes against you, you should know the way he works. Are you with me? Lift your hand and say, Holy Spirit, help me, teach me. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I am open to the working of the Holy Spirit. I allow the word to saturate my being. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, listen to this. This message is liberative. Are you with me?
Amen.
How the enemy comes, there are two objectives for the devil coming against you. One is to keep you from knowing Jesus. To keep you from knowing Jesus. You remember the word says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3 and 4? If our gospel is vain, it is only vain to those who are perishing, for the God of this world has blinded their minds from understanding the gospel of truth. Are you with me? He tries to blind the mind of the unbeliever from understanding the gospel of truth, so he's unable to get saved. Now, if you are saved, then he comes against you to keep you from effectively being an instrument for the kingdom of God. To stop you from being an effective worker in the kingdom of God. And how does he do it? The first thing that he tries to do is that he tries to entice. Remember that word, entice. Entice means to tempt to evil. To tempt to evil. He entices you to do evil. Are you with me? Have you felt a strong obsessive thought coming against you? Or sometimes it is like a voice. I mean, the evil spirits are spirit beings without a body. Are you with me? They prefer anybody, but more they prefer the human body. Otherwise, they are willing to go into animals. But believe me, you and me redeemed by the blood, we have no place for them.
Amen.
He tries to entice, to tempt you to do evil. It's a strong thing. Then he tries, second thing, he tries to harass. Harass you. The third thing, he tries to torment you. Torment. You remember in Matthew 18, the word of God says, Jesus said, if a man came and said, I owe he was a man who was owing about $10,000, let's say the huge number, $10,000 per person, and the king forgave him and said, I forgive you. Why? Because the king was moved with compassion. The Bible uses the word compassion. The king was moved with compassion, so forgave. And this man who had been forgiven of $10,000 worth of compassion, I mean, he was forgiven. He went down and he saw a man who owed him $10. And he had no compassion. Are you with me? He said, you pay me right now. You pay me right now. He said, you pay me right now. And so, this news reached the king. And the king said, that man who was not able to forgive and knew that he would be put in with the tormentors. Well, the tormentors of the devil. Are you with me? He's the tormentor. Now there are three types of torments. One is a physical torment. Sometimes it can be through sickness. Then there's something called mental torment. This mental torment comes even to believers sometimes. Mental torment. They seldom relax. They seldom realize. Mental torment. The fear of sometimes going insane. Are you with me? It has happened to me before. Let me be very truthful, it has happened to me, but I never knew it was of the evil one. I said, maybe I need to have more healthy mind. I don't know, Lord. And I was praying. And finally the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you have a healthy mind, you're born again, I've given you a healthy mind. It is coming from the devil. Then I said, devil, you cannot do it in the name of Jesus. I command you go. Mental torment. No desire to leave and to end and finish your life. Are you with me? The third thing, spiritual torment. You know what spiritual torment is? The deep accusation that comes against your mind that tells you you have committed the unpardonable sin. I have many believers who go through it. There's no way out. You've committed the unpardonable sin. If that's been coming against your mind again and again, it is a sure sign that you have not.
Hallelujah.
Are you with me? Because the man who's committed the unpardonable sin would have got nothing to do with Jesus.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He wouldn't be interested at all.
Oh, yeah.
Now this is a torment that comes spiritually. Comes to believers. You're not going to make it. You have done so much of harm to the kingdom of God and to yourself. Now you won't be born in the kingdom of God at all. It's an accusation. The difference between conviction and condemnation is this. Conviction, the Holy Spirit tells you have sinned and there is a way out.
Hallelujah.
Condemnation tells you have sinned, no way out. Road closed. My brother, the door is going to open tonight.
Amen.
That is condemnation that comes from the evil one. Conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicting you will say, son, you have sinned, but don't worry, Jesus is able to forgive and get you right back because you're living in the time of grace. Judgment will come when Jesus comes back in great glory. But now is the time of restoration coming back to us. Condemnation says, no way out, no way out. You failed in so miserably. How many times have you done this? This is the end of the road for you. When you hear that voice, just tell the devil, just the beginning. You're going to do something glorious for the kingdom of Jesus. Amen. Well, he comes to fourth one. He comes to compel. That's what we call compulsive actions or compulsive. I mean, compulsive smoking. Compulsive taking alcohol. Compulsive talking. Do you know that? Compulsive talking. Compulsive action to watch TV. Get on the one. Ah, you need to sit there. Now you believe they're there for the coming rows. And get on. It's compulsive. It doesn't come from God, my brother, my sister. Let me tell you. No one else will warn you about that. Are you with me? Trust me. Compulsive eating. The seventh one. The fifth one. To enslave. Enslave. I mean, enslave to sexual immorality, to pornography, to masturbation. I mean, enslavement there. You remember when Moses was called by God, God did not send Moses to Egypt for the people of Israel, but rather to confront Pharaoh. Do you know that? He heard the cries, it's true, he heard the cries of the people of Israel out there. But God sent Moses and said, Moses, you go handle Pharaoh. I mean, get to the root of the problem. Don't go and say to the oppressed one, it is okay, come on, it is okay. One day you will be set free. Don't say that. Go tell Pharaoh, hallelujah. Thus says the Lord, let my people go. Amen. How many are going to go right to the root of the problem? And you need to know the weapons of your warfare. Are you with me? They are not carnal but mighty in God. Say the weapons of the warfare are mighty in God. Amen. It's like, now remember, when you put 4 and 5 together, compel and enslave, when you put that together, then you have what's called addiction. Addicted. Are you with me? The sixth one, he comes to defile you. It defiles your mind. The times when you're worshipping, it defiles you in such a horrible way that, I mean, you can't worship God. Immediately, the minute you dry towards your hands and worship, immediately bad thoughts come into your mind. He makes you think, oh, how you're failed God, you're hypocrite, you're good for nothing. Does God say that? I mean, you're coming before God honestly to be set free, and the Lord is saying, you're a hypocrite, I don't take you. I mean, the Bible always says that. Jesus said in John 6 and verse 27, if anyone comes to me, I will by no means cast them away. You know, once it is said that, I think it was, I forget who the preacher was, D.L. Moody, I suppose. D.L. Moody was preaching one night, and a young man was sitting there. And after D.L. Moody spoke the word for such a long time, I mean, he said to this young man, listen, I know you have committed a lot of sins, but if you are willing to come to Jesus, he's able to take you and restore and put you right back. Would you like to restart, I mean, surrender your life back to Jesus? The man said, but how do I know whether the Lord will accept me? I've done so many. Moody took the scripture in John 6 and 37 and he read out. And he said to this young man, if anyone comes to Jesus, the Lord by no means will cast them away. This man heard, looked for some time. He said, I believe. You know what he said? Do you believe? He said, I hope so. He said, do you believe? It's written, do you believe? He said, I believe. He got on his knees and prayed. On the way, the Lord said, watch out, the devil is a liar, but you stand strong. The Lord said to him. Even now, the minute he was walking back to his house, the devil came and whispered to his mind, it is a wrong translation. It is a wrong translation. And he was harassed by thought. So wrong translation, wrong translation, wrong translation. That means the Lord will not accept me. The devil said, no. The gate took, he opened. The gate is open. By no means cast them away. The Lord will by no means cast them away. The devil is saying to his mind, no, it's the wrong translation. He said, Lord, I believe your word. If it's a wrong translation, blame on the translators. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you believe the word tonight? He will never cast away when it comes to him. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, the Lord will never cast away. Anyone who comes to him. Amen. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Now, the third one. It's called deception or deceit. And that itself we have gone through it a long time back. Deceit. Do you remember that word deception? We had teaching on that long time back. Deception. Now, listen. The doorway to deception is always pride. And the key to stay out of deception is humility. Never forget that. The doorway to deception is pride. And the key to stay in the truth of the word is humility. Are you with me? And the eighth and the last one. He comes to weaken or kill. Let me highlight this. Today I believe the Lord wants us to learn. Are you with me?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit wants to learn.
Yes.
He wants to teach you. A key to a man, remember this, if you were to ask me, can a believer get demon possessed? He cannot get demon possessed.
because he's got a regenerate spirit. But he can be demon attacked. Are you with me? He can be oppressed. The devil cannot take your spirit because you're born again. But if you're not born again, if you do not have Jesus your Lord, then you need to get saved. Are you with me? But the devil will come against that. If you have all this, that doesn't mean you're demon possessed. But it means you're demonically attacked. Are you with me? It might be in the area of your mind, in the area of your body, the soul. But your spirit is regenerated in the power of the Holy Spirit and through the power of God's word. That is why you have been given something that the devil cannot steal away. That is the work of reaper that God has done inside of you. And you are able to handle him the minute you come to know the truth.
Hallelujah.
If there is an overflow of wickedness, James 1 and verse 21 says, receive with meekness, implant it. Where is the word implant? Implant the word of God, which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness and lay aside, are you with me? Every filthiness and mortal anger, the wickedness, lay aside, because you have received with meekness the implant the word of God. Now lay aside the rest of the filth. You need to discern between the flesh and the demon. Are you with me? You cannot cast out the flesh and you cannot crucify the demon. Are you with me? Where you need to have discipline, you need to allow the Holy Spirit to crucify your flesh. And where the demon is to be cast out, you need to allow him to be cast out. The difference needs to be learned. How many of you understand something today? Well, we got to look to the word. And this is from Derek Prince. On the areas that he comes to oppress you or do all these things. And that for us to learn, we teach from the word in Proverbs 25 and verse 28. And that is this. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Say, a city broken down?
A city broken down.
Without walls.
Without walls.
Well, the Bible mentions our inward man or our whole nature as a city. So we're going to look to this inner city, what Derek Prince has outlined, was things which the enemy comes against. The first thing is what is called your emotions and your attitudes. He comes against that. That's a city. The city by itself. He comes against your emotion and your attitude. If he's given you a wrong attitude, then he's one after the other. Are you with me? That's why sometimes the devil comes and takes away your head and says to you, Jesus won't take you back. The Lord has come to take away your joy, the life. The Bible says, the Lord has come to give you life and life in its fullness. The devil is the one who's called a thief, who steals away. But he changes your attitude. He says, no, no, the Lord will do this. If you come to Jesus, no more fun. Life is finished. Are you with me? Wrong attitude. If you come to Jesus, you're missing out on life. No way. The Bible says, he came to give you life and that you might enjoy life. Are you with me? If you can get new attitude, that's the first area that battle is won. How many of you understand this? I mean, he tries to get your attitude wrong. That is why the Bible says you need to have the implant the word of God in your mind, in your heart. What is the truth? And he tries to get you emotionally upset. The deepest weapon that the enemy uses is what is rejection. But my brother, that should have been your cry in the depths of hell, in the depths of sin. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But Jesus did that for you. So you can have fellowship with him. Are you with me? So he tries to make you feel so rejected, the enemy. That's why one of the prayers that the Lord taught the disciples was, our Father in heaven.
Yeah.
Come on, we are not orphans. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Do not bring us to death, but deliver us from all evil. I mean, our Father is the prayer that he taught you and me. He tries to get you emotional and tries to get you
One through rejection, another through loneliness, third through despair. I call something the 3D effect which the enemy tries to do against you. The 3D effect. You know what the 3D effect is? The first thing is, he tries to get discouraged. D. Discouraged. If he needs to be discouraged, then he tries to get you into despair. Despair. Are you with me? If you have despair, then he tries. Despair, together with that comes deception. When you begin to despair, you begin to get deceived. Are you with me? Then comes the third thing, which is called disillusionment. You become disillusioned about God. When you have a mental makeup of who God is, not the way the Word of God says. The Lord is cruel, the Lord is bad, the Lord will put it. The Bible nowhere says it. You have a picture of God, my God. You are disillusioned. Are you with me? Now, how many people watch that kind of crying? Disillusion. Just that one word, disillusion. Now, second city is called the mind. And he comes against, we have gone through this before, but let me just give you a few points. One through doubt, another through unbelief, third through confusion, fourth through insecurity, fifth with indecision. Never take decisions. I mean, you get indecision. He comes against your tongue. You know how? Compulsory lie. Always to lie. Do not know why. Lies. Blasphemy. Unclean speech. Negative talking. You cannot confess the word, you can confess every other problem. See that? Because you can confess the truth of the word, but you confess every problem around. He comes to your sexuality. The homosexuality, fantasy world, sexual uncleanness, through lust, especially perverted desires and appetites. Let me tell you one key. Addiction always grows in frustration. Are you with me? When you're frustrated with yourself. When you're frustrated with life, that's when addiction grows. The minute you begin to understand that you're getting frustrated, take it to the Lord in prayer. Sing this beautiful song. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, our sins and griefs to bear. Come on, lift your hands and sing.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Amen. Now I go to this fast. I hope this enlightening for you. Amen. This will set you free. Are you with me? Unless you realize of the word, unless you realize of the Holy Spirit, how can we walk in freedom? Amen.
Amen.
The sixth or the fifth one. Your physical body. Your physical body. It tries to harass. It tries to weaken. I have strong problem there. Are you? But then I have to take a victory in the Lord. I have to go back and discipline myself into the eating properly on time. But I never looked into it. Eating properly on time. Eating well, eating good food, sleeping well. I have to do that. Taking sufficient. Otherwise you step out of the discipline that the Lord wants you to have in your physical body. You get it back. Are you with me? I was so zealous for God. God said, don't be zealous more than me. I humble myself. Amen. Let me tell you, this lips through which he attacks in your body, through all kinds of heresies, are you with me? Wrong kinds of theologies, all of that, those are from demonic beings. If you want to guard yourself there, let me tell you one simple thing. Never go after revelation. Go after just the word in itself. Are you with me? Don't have an ear that is called leeching, which is learning, which is desiring to learn something new. Have an ear which is willing to obey what you already know from the word. If a congregation gets into a trap, and believe me, there were times that we used to, until I had to go before and confess it as a sin before the Lord. The congregation turned out at a time when they wanted to just give a new revelation, they're happy to go. God said, you better gather. God wants us to need something powerful, He will do it. Are you with me? What I'm saying is, you are not going after it. He will give it to you in due time.
Amen.
You read the word not to get some revelation. You read the word to get an obedience to the word that you're reading. Well, how do these demons come? Would you like to know? Amen.
Amen.
We like to know where enemy comes in through. Maybe you've got a house, and if there's a window that is not strong enough, and the enemy comes in through there, when you rather go there and put some good grill work and make sure the enemy doesn't come there the same way again.
Amen.
We like to do the same thing.
Amen.
We like to gather in good city, making sure it is strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I mean, how many of you would be foolish to leave a door open when there are thieves around? You want to go there and close it. Are you with me? You don't want to keep the door open. Remember the door? Remember, this is something powerful that you need to go and analyze this and write it down. Nobody in the kingdom of God condemns you for having a problem. But you are only condemned for rejecting the solution. Are you with me? The Lord has got a way out. There is no condemnation for having a problem. I have 100 million problems. I mean, I was a guy who was harassed by the enemy. I thank God for the grace that kept me. Many of these things I learned through experience. Depressed, rejected, I mean, oh my God, I wish this is the end. But then the devil comes and says, no son, this is the end. Come on. Now I know why I went through that. Because I saw so many people going through it. Amen.
Amen.
The first way and the biggest way is if you have an authentic background. Are you with me? Now we are believers here. But if you have gone against the first commandment, we know that. We won't go into it in detail. If there is a personal involvement in our world, are you with me? And if there is what is called a pre-natural influence. And let me highlight that here. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6. Especially the woman, you need to know this. Your husband, you need to cover them in prayer. 1 Peter 3 So Sarah obeyed, the sixth verse, Abraham calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good, and are not afraid with any terror. Afraid with any terror. Afraid with any terror. That fear, when you have, there's a natural fear, but a strong obsessive fear, if you do not hold it in faith, if you do not hold your life in faith, as a life of a child in faith, and if you do not accept a child right in the womb, with the freedom that God has given you, in the love of His grace, remember this. You are opening a door. Are you with me? I've seen children being demonically possessed. I used to wonder how it is. Small children. I mean, demons will look to their eyes. The only thing they can throw around is the Bible sometimes. Have you seen that? The children. It can come through a pressure in an early childhood. Remember this, the husband is the priest of the house. Are you with me? He is to walk in the integrity of the word so that his wife and his children will be kept in the power of God's glory. But if in your house there is always fighting and strife, and if there is an area of always anger, no harmony, that house is open to demonic attack. Now how do you find it? In the book of James chapter 3,
And 16th verse says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. Every evil thing. That's why our God is interested in saving families as a whole. Amen. You need to shepherd the family into Jesus. One of the strongest ways is through a sinful habit. The persistence in it. Sinful habit. Persistence in it. Not falling down to sin, but I'm saying is continuing sin. I mean, label. The word uses label. We call it labor for God. Labor it instead of getting out. You might fall, but maybe God doesn't get right. Now, I was, the other day, one of my brothers came to see me in the Lord. And he told me he was going from this claw thing in front of the family. I mean, he lusted the eyes. He couldn't look at a woman fully. His lust of the eyes was so intense. It was going on. And then we were praying and the Lord said, he's been keeping his eyes always into, on website, he goes into those pornographic sites, and this watch store. Then he comes back and he cannot watch clean on anyone else. He's gone into the devil's territory. Are you with me? Once delinquent says when he was lying on the devil of a woman, the woman said, I got this woman because she subjected herself in my territory. A demon of uncleanness. Because she was frequenting the place. Are you with me? That's why you need to walk in the anointing of God. You need to, the Bible says your eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is pure, your whole body is pure. If your eye is compulsively looking, tonight, I pray that tonight before we end, God says, short word of prayer. And if you're truly wanting to be set free, the Lord Jesus will set you free. Amen.
Amen.
You need to just reconsecrate your life to Jesus. Dedicate your life. And close those doors. How to be delivered? I can assure you. Stay humble. Humility is the key. Call spade a spade. Don't call an agricultural tool. Don't call an agricultural tool, but call spade a spade. You bear the problem? That's it. That's humility. Are you with me? Humility shows itself in honesty. So be honest about your problem. God doesn't condemn you for having a problem. There's no problem at all. Are you with me if you're having a problem? But Jesus is the answer. But if you deny a problem, then the problem starts. Thirdly, confess your faith in Christ. Fourth, confess your sin. Confess means, that word confess means to acknowledge. Fifth, repent of all sin. Break with occult and secret societies. When I highlighted Freemasonry is a secret society. Are you with me? Seventh one, forgive. Forgive everyone unconditionally. Eighth one, expect. Well, expect. That word, expect means. You know, how are demons coming? I believe through the air. The word for spirit is, one of the word is the wind. Are you with me? Now when you're not subject to the Lordship of Jesus, that means you're open, which means that every false religion and everyone who is not in the Lordship of Jesus is actually under the power of demons. There's nothing in between. Sit in the night you saw one sitting next to you, opposite you. in the dream.
You pray,
my hand starts off on the plate. We're raising our hand.
So, the simple key to getting deliverance is if you have taken these decisions to allow Jesus to be the Lord, if you're willing to close the doors, then remember, what will happen is this. You don't need to breathe in and breathe out, not that. I'm speaking of that. You need to submit to God and resist the devil. So again, that short word of prayer that we made, I said, you want to now say, let go. Are you with me? And in Jesus' name, we go. Because you are willing to close the door, you're willing to subject yourself to the Lord, coming under the Lordship of Jesus, and you say, no more. Immediately the kingdom of God. I have experienced it in my life. Very personally. Are you with me? Very personally. I mean, I'm not speaking about I know that. You don't need to do that. When you are not trying to get him out of your inner spine, you're not. You bring your life under the watch of Jesus, you're saying, I resist you now. This is a sign. At the most 30 seconds, 45 seconds, at the most that's it. The problem that you want to expel. You know the problem? What the problem is? You say, Jesus, I bring it under your lordship. Don't just expel. if you think after the message you heard, there is an area in your life that's under the harassing attack of the enemy, then you just say, Lord, here I am. I expel. Are you with me? How many of you like to do that?
Amen.
Amen. Well, let me tell you before you do that, how the key to do it. Make Jesus the Lord. Second, put on the garment of praise. You remember in Isaiah 61 verse 3 it says, He's given me a garment of praise instead of a garment of oppression, which means I think you can be clothed with oppression. You have a garment of praise. Are you with me? That's what we praise. They have a garment of praise instead of a garment of oppression. My brother is so joyful to praise the Lord. Amen. God is going to put that gift back into our life. Just praying and exalting and worshiping. We suddenly begin to realize that the enemy is so unhappy when you worship Jesus. Are you with me? Because he cannot. He lost it. You cannot lose it because the grace of God is working for you. You have the spirit to come and worship. Third thing, put on the whole armor of God. We'll speak about that later. I believe that we need to systematically learn. This is the first stage of our learning. Fourth, lead by God's word. Man is not lead by bread alone, but by little bread and jam. No. Man is not lead by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. The word is proceed, which is
continuous.
Which is continuous. The proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Just not one time you heard the word in the Baba, not about it. No. Proceeds. Faith comes by hearing. If you read then Romans 10 verse 13 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of the Lord. Two times the word hearing is said. Faith comes by hearing the word of the Lord. Hearing. So again, persistence. Not once heard. Once I heard. No. That's why weekly I come here to preach the word. Weekly you're taught the word. Nothing else. You just taught the word. Are you with me? So you can hear the word. Faith can grow. You can stand strong in the Lord. I've told this long time back. Let me tell you one more time again. We have what is called the fact. We know what is called the feeling. And we know what is faith. The three F's. Fact, faith, and feeling. It's as long as you have your eyes on the fact of God's word, you're walking and your feelings will follow. But the minute you turn your eyes away from the fact of God's word and look to the feeling, you will stumble. Anyone will stumble. Are you with me? It's not by what you feel. Feelings come and go. The word. I've told you this one time, I'll repeat it one more time. One long time, I was praying for a woman who was demanding to be possessed. I know this is between break by faith and break by feelings. I mean, I used to break by feelings. Huh? If I feel good, I pray. It's always feeling, but no more. It's faith and word life. So, when I'm still growing intelligently. But when I was praying for this woman, I laid hands on her and I said, in the name of Jesus, demon, I command you, come over. And suddenly I began to feel something come up my hands. I said, oh my God, even that bleeding is coming into me. Oh. And then I said, no more my feeling. Come on, great is the one who is in me and the one that is in the world. I've been given all the power of God over all the powers of the enemy. I've got Jesus, my Lord. Amen. And that time to understand, even now, sometimes in the ministry, we do not keep ourselves in the maturity of Christ. Even times now, still I'm going, you know. Times you understand that. And you're saying, you're not me. Sorry. You're saying something there. Oh my God. But now immediately the word comes out. Don't walk by faith, walk by faith. You live by faith. You live by the word. Okay. The fifth one is, submit to God and resist the devil. Some people resist that, says resist God and submit to Satan. We have got opposite. In opposites, you know, upside down, submit to God. You hear a message, you want to resist that message. Oh, I think it's bad. Okay, I'm ready now, even I'm ready. Are you? Just have a way around. Submit to God, resist the devil. So simple. Then you walk in fellowship. Right fellowship. Are you with me? Right fellowship. 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. The blood of Jesus will cleanse you only in the light, not in the dark. Are you with me? The blood of Jesus will cleanse you only in the light. That's why if you walk in the light, as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. One of the signs that we walk in the light is by fellowshipping with one another. Have you seen when you are in darkness, you do not want to fellowship with anyone? Which is high. Have you seen that? Today I think I've got a... What is it? That brain hands around my knee. I won't go. You look for excuses. The seventh one, you come under discipline. Discipline in the church, discipline in the family, discipline in your personal life. Three areas. Are you with me? Personal discipline, discipline in the ministry, and discipline in the family. And then it says, make Jesus central. What it means is this, in John 12 and verse 31-32. I just read that and then we pray. John 12, 31-32. Now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. When? If I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. When will the ruler of the ruler of the world be cast out? When the Lord is lifted up. Are you with me? It means lift up Jesus in every area of your life. Lift him up. Let him be the central. You want the enemy to be cast out? Lift up Jesus. Are you with me? Amen. So we're gonna just pray. Before we pray, I just want to give you a minute. Just to because you might have fear. Like the people of Israel came out of Egypt to the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. What a victory that means. 3 million Israelites walking out of Egypt. Hallelujah. Unto the promised land. Amen. This is your night of victory, my brother. My sister. Just allow the Holy Spirit to help you. Come on, you know, the baby usually pray with God. Psalm, thanks, we done this. Good, I love it. I want to worship the Lord like that. But tonight we just want to base everything on the Word, just be focused on Jesus. You ready? Amen? Let's stand up in the presence of God. Before I start praying, if there is anybody here with the Lord, or anybody here, who has come for the first time, you have not accepted Jesus your Lord, as your Master, as your Savior. I want to pray with you. There's nothing wrong. You can come forward and just pray for you. Anybody here? Maybe you have just gone away from the Lord and you want to rededicate your life to Jesus. You want to rededicate your life and allow Jesus to be the Lord. Just come forward. Let's just pray. I mean, if there's anybody here, just come. Lord, Lord help you. Just come, pray. Look to Jesus. Anybody else? Don't be ashamed. Don't be scared. Just come and be Lord. Allow Jesus to be the Lord. Lift your hands, brothers, and just begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Or just begin to pray.
is in this place. Jesus is here. The Lord Jesus is here. People, all that you need to do, maybe you're just come back to the Lord and you're just worshiping the Lord, and just maybe you had never come into your life truly, but now you have. I just want to say a small prayer for you, and you can repeat that prayer. And after that prayer is over, I do not want you to pray, but I just want you, whatever that's been rocking you or keeping you from walking in the freedom of Jesus, I just want you to expel that with just a couple of quick blows out, saying, let go. After I say the prayer, don't pray in tongues at that time, don't pray in any way, but just do that. And don't be scared, because the Lord is here. He's here to set you free. So that's your liberation, it's your release. Time of captivity is over. So all that you need to do is just speak forth the promise right now. As I speak forth the word, you repeat after me. Lord Jesus,
I proclaim you
as my personal Lord,
Master,
Savior.
And only God.
Jesus Christ.
I invite you
into my heart.
Take charge.
Lord Jesus.
Be in charge over my life.
I place myself entirely
into your hands.
Jesus.
I confess
that you alone
are my Lord.
I renounce sin.
I renounce Satan.
I renounce the world.
Location of sin.
I severe every soul relationships.
I renounce everything that is not of yours.
Jesus,
wash me
with your
precious blood.
Fill me
with your
Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Obeying your word.
In James 4.
To you,
and I resist the devil.
I submit to you,
and I resist the devil.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now I just want you to bring to your heart or to your mind that very thing that you want Jesus to set you free from. He's the deliverer.
You might just be for 30, 60 seconds, that's all, at the most 60 seconds. But I just want you, with a true hatred for that bondage, whatever it is, to renounce it and to just blow it out of your mouth or through your nose, to just blow it out. Sometimes you might feel like coughing, sometimes you might feel something choking, but just blow it out. Just blow it out. And just renounce it. Just blow it out. Simple breath. Don't be scared. Just simple breath and blow it out. Expel. Don't be scared, just expel. If the choking is there, it's okay. Let that choking be there, but just expel. sets free.
It's free indeed.
I thank you, Jesus, that you have freed me. I receive my freedom. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, your word declares. Any door that you close, it's closed forever. Every door that you open, stays open forever. All right, pray.